Yeah, we are. On Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we've been talking about Hitiru Zofan Mishum Tchilasan. Thank you. The idea that we permit somebody to do something because we want to make sure that he will do something else earlier. That was the essential idea. And we talked about it in a number of different cases. So one item that I had wanted to bring is just, you know, two items that the Gemara did not bring as examples. If you take a look on your sheet at Source Aleph, one is the Rush on our Gemara. He says, V'chein l'haulich sfarim yimayim le'beis ha'knesses. I added in brackets, mutter. V'af l'hachaziran, di'itiru sofen mishum t'chilasan. Right, the rule, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara next, in the next sugya of Mitoch, the rule is that you are allowed to do things on Yom Tov that violate, violate is not the right word. Well, when we see the sugya of Mitoch, we'll get into it more. But the bottom line is that I am allowed to carry on Yom Tov items that I might need in some way. However, if I have no purpose for carrying it whatsoever, it's a dirty tissue, then I'm not allowed to carry it on Yom Tov. Just like on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to carry it on Yom Tov, you know, barring Eruv. So the Rosh writes, I am allowed to bring my sitter, let's say, home from shul. Or not necessarily shul in particular. He mentions shul as one case, but Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah is a popular example. I'm allowed to bring the master back home. Even though I don't need it back home, nonetheless, if you don't let me bring it home, I'm not going to bring it there. So that's another case of Itiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. That's a particular application. But there's a case in the Mishnah that we didn't bring, which is a little bit surprising. If you take a look at Source Beis, Mishnah and Erevin, Misha Yatza Birshus, if somebody left his tchum with permission, meaning for one of the purposes that overrides the concern for tchum, then he gets there and they say, it's all right, we took care of it already. So yesh lo apayim ama l'chol ruach. The rule is that he is now allowed to travel 2,000 amos in every direction, even though that's, you know, he's outside the tchum. Technically speaking, he shouldn't be allowed to move 2,000 amos in every direction. And the Gemara, the Mishnah continues to say, if he's within his tchum, says that he never left. And then, if they go to save lives, then we allow them to go back home afterwards. So isn't that a clear-cut case of, you're allowing him to go home so that he'll go in the first place? Why wasn't that mentioned in our Gemara? So Tosfos in Erevin, Source Gimel, explains. He says, Hadalo chashavle beperakama de Beitza. The fact that this wasn't mentioned in the first parak in Beitza in our Gemara, Gabe Hanoch Gimel de Tirusofan Mishum Tchilasa, when we listed three cases and then we had a fourth also, that we permit the end due to the beginning. Dize eino chidush. The reason is because this isn't a novelty. The fact that we're going to say, if you left to save lives, you're allowed to go home, that's not a novelty. As opposed to the cases that we brought, where the Gemara went through with each of them and said, why did you need to say this? And the answer was, I needed to say it because of a particular other reason that I might have had. In other words, when he says that it's obvious, he doesn't mean that it's obvious as much as in each of the cases, I might have thought there was another rule involved. So, for example, the case of the bandage, I might have thought the rule that permitted it was in Shavuos B'Mikdash. So, therefore, we needed to list each one. But this one is clear-cut. It's obvious that the reason why we're going to allow you to go home is to make sure that you go safe in the first place. There is no other operating principle, so they didn't need to mention it.
I have a question on the first case.
Yeah.
Did you mention the first mitzvah that came to my mind when you mentioned, because on the Yontif you're allowed to carry for food?
Well, the
another rule in the Mishnah Gemara that mitoch shu'ot ale tzorach utar, no mishel ole tzorach, so if you also can carry non-food items.
Right, so what we'll see when we get to the sugya is that hitiru shelo letzorach doesn't mean completely shelo letzorach. There has to be some element of need involved, even if it's not food and even if it's very low level, nonetheless, there has to be some need. You'll see. I mean, that's the sugya.
Or going out in ambulance drivers? Is that a Moshe's heter?
So the heter there is to allow you, as the Gemara discusses there, to violate the Rabbanans to get back. Right. It's actually not to violate deraisas. This wouldn't permit driving.
Right.
The
do permit hatholic.
The heter for a person to violate a deraisa is where there's a concern that they will be needed to save another life. So what you're doing now is actually a pikuach nefesh act. They talk about it with a doctor being allowed to hang up the phone after taking a call, because otherwise some next person needs to reach him isn't going to be able to reach him. So you have...
The telephone probably is only your phone.
Yeah,
I understand.
They talk about it, their chuvos on it, regarding doctors in outposts in Yudan Shomron. So, they go to save somebody or take care of somebody at the hospital. If they don't go back to the yeshuv, then there's no doctor there. Like, they're the doctor. So they need to be able to go back in order to be available. That kind of thing.
Yeah. For the Hatzolah, it's not that. I mean, that's not the case. I mean, that's a tangent from where
we're... Yeah, it's a tangent from where we are, and I gave a shiur on it, at one point. If you want, I can point you to the audio recording. But, okay. The last piece of Gemara that we have to see before we get to go back and discuss bandages is at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are six lines up from the bottom, Masnisin. Right, we had made that point. We asked the question of Ula only had three cases of Itiyu Sofa Mishum Tchilaso. Right, Rachba had a fourth case, the case of the barrel that you opened and not worrying about whether it became Tamei during the Regel, that whole discussion that we had. So Ula didn't have that case, and the Gemara wanted to know why, and the answer was Ula didn't include cases that are under debate. That was a machlokas of Yehuda and the Rabbanan about how to treat the barrel after Yom Tov is over. To which the Gemara said, well, Ula has cases that are a debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. To which he said, that's not a debate. Everybody knows we follow Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai isn't even a voice. So the Gemara now concludes our discussion with a nuance regarding the tracing, regarding the hinges. Mas nisin delo ki haitana. Our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. What are you talking about? So Rashi explains, Masnisin de Katani Besiluk Nami Pligi. Our Mishnah said that the debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is not only regarding whether I can put the door back on this stall, but whether I'm allowed to remove it in the first place. Right? That was the way that it was framed in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah right at the top of the Yamud. Beis Shammai said you may not remove it, and Beis Hillel said you can remove it and you can put it back. So the debate's on both scores. So the Gemara says, Masnisin delo ki haitana, our Mishnah disagrees with the following braisa, disanya. Amar Bishimon ben Elazar, modim Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel, shemesalkin es hatreisin b'yom tov. Bishimon ben Elazar says, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you are allowed to remove the shutters on Yom Tov. There's no debate on that. The debate is only, are you allowed, once you've removed it and you've done your business, are you allowed to put them back? Beis Shammai omrim ein machzir, Beis Shammai says no, because there's no purpose. Beis Hillel omrim af machzir, and Beis Hillel says you're allowed to restore it because otherwise you won't remove them in the first place. But the braisa continues with an added note. When is it true that we say that, when is it true that we say that there's a machlokas? B'sheyesh lahen tzir. If they have a hinge, and hinge, when they say hinge here, if you jump down to Rashi, three lines up from the bottom, middle of the line, b'sheyesh lahen tzir, what he means by a hinge is, yados l'shnei rashin, didomos l'binyan. You have yados, a yad is a handle, for the two ends of it. And that's why I call it a hinge.
Pictures
also. Okay, right, but it's basically what we're describing. The idea is that at both ends of this door frame, you have a handle for the door. And the point, therefore, is that the door is going to attach better. And therefore, it's more like construction. And therefore, Beis Shammai is less likely to approve what you're doing.
But if you put in a piece in between the handle, is this the construction?
Here, take a look. Pass it around. And the discussion about the two pictures in the middle or whatever is what we're about to get to.
So where's the handle you're talking
about? On the side.
I guess those two things. Yeah.
That's the hinge. That's what we mean by handle. When Rashi says handle, yad in general, as it's used in Mishnaic and Gemara Hebrew, means just something that extends out of something else that you can hold on to, theoretically.
And like, we just had the whole thing.
When you get to Uktzin, you have a nice discussion about the Yad and the Shomer for the Pri. Right. So the Yad is just something you hold on to. So that's what we're talking about here with this hinge. But if there is no hinge, if there's nothing that's jutting out from it, it isn't really attached. And therefore, even Beis Shammai says, sure, you can put it back on. In other words, all I'm doing is taking a board, sticking it in. There's nothing there that sort of slots into it or anything. So that's the Braisa. So the Gemara asks a question about this. According to the Braisa you just quoted, the Braisa says that the debate is where there is a hinge. If there's no hinge, it's 100% fine. Well, I have another Braisa, once you start quoting me Braisas. The Vatanya, Braisa says, the art scroll has it, okay. The Vatanya, Bamed Devarim Amurim, when is the Machlokes? B'she'ein lehen itzir. The debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is where there is no hinge. Aval Yeshla and Tzir divrei kol aser, but if it has a hinge, then everybody says aser. All we're doing is we're bumping the debate one step along. We thought the debate was, do I permit or not with a hinge? Without a hinge, for sure, fine. Now we're saying no. The debate is where there's no hinge. If there is a hinge, then it's all aser. So now I have conflicting brisos. What do I do? So you could say you have conflicting brisos. However, there are different species of hinge. Hence the multiple pictures that you saw in Howie's and that you're going to see in yours. The Amar Abaye, b'sheyesh lehen tzir min hatzad, divrei kol aser. He says the answer is these two brisos don't disagree. They're just describing different situations. If there's a hinge that's on the side of the door frame that you have, then divrei kol aser, everybody agrees that you are not going to be allowed to replace the door. Ein lehen tzir kol iker, if there's no hinge, then divrei kol muter, then everybody says it's fine because all you're doing is slapping a board onto this space. Ki pligi b'sheyesh lehen tzir be'emtza. The machlokas is where the hinge is in the middle, and you saw in the pictures what middle means. It's this middle of the of this piece of wood that you're putting in, and it, not middle, well, you can see it in the picture, so you don't need me to try to explain it. But that's the case where there's a machlokes. Mar savar gazrinon tzir be'emtza atu tzir min hatzad. One says that even though this isn't that strong a connection to the door frame, since we don't like it if you have a good hinge in the door frame, one that's on the edge, all cases where there's a hinge are going to be usher to replace. Umar Sabah lo gazrinan, and the other one says, no, we don't have any such decree. This is an inefficient tzir, and therefore it's going to be mutter.
So what's the hashan on Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Moedim, we say that it's not like him, because he says that not specific enough, or...
Was it, no, we have no problem with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. We did from this Braisa, because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's Braisa, the second half of his Braisa, right, said that that where there is a hinge,
right,
that's where there's a machlokes.
Right.
And if there's no hinge, it's mutter. Right. But then I have this other Braisa that says that no, where there is a hinge, everybody says usser. So the answer is it's talking about different kinds of hinges.
Okay.
Where it's a solid hinge, the side hinge, then everybody says usser. Where it's a hinge that's not a great hinge, machlokes. Some say all hinges are usser, and some say no, only the really good ones. This weak hinge that's in the middle, that's not an issue.
Why is the hinge in and of itself so important? Don't you need something to go through it in order to make it?
Right, so anytime you have this hinge, we have to assume there's a hole in the socket that you're going to fit it into.
Yeah, but there.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, yes, it doesn't make any sense otherwise. Okay, so that concludes this sugya, and really the whole discussion of Hitiru Sofan Mishum Chilasan and Mitoch beginning in the next Mishnah is the next long piece of Gemara. However, we're going to go back to something that Howie emailed me, because he spent like three different emails and scans trying to do this, and it's actually a really good discussion that will clarify something we did before that I did not understand the first time. Remember we talked about the bandage? Under our list of Hitiru Sofan Mishum Chilasan, we said that the Kohen has a bandage in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to do the Avodah while the bandage is on his hand. So we want him to remove it and do the avodah. But if we tell him he can't put it back on, then he's not going to remove it in the first place. So therefore, we said he's allowed to put the bandage back on, lest he otherwise refuse to take it off in the first place. That was the simple, straightforward read of the Gemara. We had a problem with Rashi when we did this. The problem that we had with Rashi was that when the Gemara first introduced it in the list of the three cases, Rashi said one thing. He said the issue of replacing the bandage is because if you smear the medicine, whatever medicine it is, you smear on it, you're in violation of memachik. Memachik is when you smooth out a material, and that's a deoraisa. And we were bothered when we read that Rashi, because we're talking about derabanans. If you talk about deoraisas, then you can't play this game of, well, we'll let you do this at the end so that you'll do it in the beginning. That was one problem that we had with Rashi. The other problem we had with Rashi was that Rashi, further down on the page, when we bring up this topic of itiru sofan, of bandages again, gives you a different answer. He says there that the issue is that this is medicine. And midrabanan, you're not allowed to practice medicine, and that's what we're going to permit you to do for the sake of making sure you do your avoda. So why on top did he give me this other explanation about memareach, about memachik, and smoothing things? If the issue is medicine, why did he bring that? And in fact, we noted that the Bach actually omits that first Rashi. The Bach says, I don't have that in mind. Which, you know, we were very happy to do, because that solved our problems. But there's actually a lot more going on here, and it ties into a whole other set of questions about this bandage discussion. So that's what we're going to spend the next, 25 minutes or so looking at here. Again, to be clear, Ula gave us his list of three items that you are allowed to do because we want to make sure you do something first, and one of them was that the Kohen is allowed to put the bandage back on in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we had in our Gemara. So take a look at your sheet, please. I gave you a table there above source Dalet, and that should be of use as we go through this, but ignore it for now, because right now it will make no sense. Source Dalet is the key. It's a Gemara in Erevin. Mishnah there says, Machzirin Ritiya b'mikdash. You're allowed to put the Ritiya, the bandage, back on in the Beis HaMikdash. Avalo b'medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. In betchila, if you're going to put it on for the first time, kan v'kan osur. Then you're not allowed to do it either way. Whether Beis HaMikdash or not Beis HaMikdash doesn't matter. Because, again, what we're allowing you to do in terms of putting it back on is only to make sure that you'll take it off in the first place. If you're putting it on now for the first time, there was no such heter. So the Gemara on that, Tana Rabbanan, Brisa says, Ritiya Shepirsha, if a bandage separated off, and our assumption is that this is different from the case of the Kohen who removed it, Pirsha sounds like it fell off on its own. Right? That's the difference between, you know, taking something and letting it just come off. So if it came off on its own, Me'al Gabe Maka, from on the wound, Machzirin B'Shabbos. Tanakama says you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imrak Huchla Kalamata, the Imrak I think I added, he says, if it just slipped down, then Doch Kalamala, so you can shove it back onto the wound. Lamala, if it slipped upward, so Doch Kalamata, you press it down. Umegala Mikta Saratio Mekanech Piamaka, you're allowed to pull back some of the bandage in order to wipe the wound. And then you pull up a little another part of it and you wipe the wound there. You're not pulling it off entirely. It's just bit by bit to be able to clean underneath. You're not allowed to actually wipe the bandage itself, because you would be smoothing out the medicine that's on it. And if you did, that's a biblical violation requiring a sin offering. That's the Braisa. So the Braisa presents a Machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to worry about the part about uncovering part of it, covering part of it. That's not relevant. What is relevant is that the Tanakama says if the bandage starts to come off, you replace it on Shabbos. Okay? The Tanakama says, not starts to come off, the bandage comes off, you replace it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't. If it slipped, you can shove it back in place, but that's it. You're not replacing this bandage on Shabbos. So on that, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. The law follows Rabbi Yehuda. You are not allowed to replace this bandage if it fell off on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Chisda, but then Rav Chisda comes along and he clarifies what Rabbi Yehuda said. He says, I'm sorry, he clarifies what the Tanakhama said. Lo shanu dimutar lahachazira, I added in the words that are in brackets, Ela Shapirsha Agabe Kli. When the Tanakhama said you're allowed to put it back, that's talking about where it fell off but landed on a Kli, on some utensil. It didn't hit the floor. Pirsha Agabe Karka, but if it fell out to the ground, Divriya Kol Asur, then everybody agrees you can't put it back on. Not just Rabbi Yehuda, but the Tanakhama as well. Reasons we'll get to. Right, sorry.
What's magical about it?
Right, so we don't know yet. Right now we don't have a clue.
30.
We'll see.
What's the problem in the first place putting it back?
So right now the only piece of information we have is the concern about memareach. Smearing the medicine onto the plaster.
And if there's no smearing on, there's no medicine on the plaster, then there's no problem.
Well, there's no medicine, it's not a plaster. The ritia by definition has medicine. Like you wouldn't, apply a cloth.
No,
it doesn't mean a blank cloth. Yeah.
It's to cover the...
It has the...
You have to put the neosporin on it.
It's not the regular plaster that we...
No, they're putting on antibiotics. So, Rav Chisda says that the heter is only if it fell off onto a kli, not if it fell off onto the floor. And we haven't explained why. Right now, we're just laying down some rules. Amar Mar Barav Ashi. Then we get a story. Mar, son of Rav Ashi, says, Havakemna Kamei Abba. I was in front of my father, Rav Ashi. Nafla Le Abe Sadia, the Kamahadir Le. And his bandage fell off, not removed, it fell off, onto Be Sadia. Sadia are pillows. So it fell off onto the pillows, which is not onto the floor, clearly. But Kamahadir, and he put it back on. Aminale, I said to him, Lo savar la mar la hadam Rav Chisda, don't you agree with what Rav Chisda said? Machlokes shapirsha agabe kli, that the debate is only if it fell off onto a kli. And that is, as I added in brackets, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to put it back. And the Tanakhama says you are allowed to. Aval pirsha agabe karka asur. But if it falls onto the ground, you are not allowed to put it back. Va'amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel says the law follows Rabbi Yehuda, which means that even when it falls onto the kli, you're not allowed to put it back. Right? The debate in which Rabbi Yehuda said usur was the kli case. So how is it that you took it off the pillows and put it back on your arm? So Amar Li, to which my father Rav Ashi told me, Lo Shmili, I never heard that. Which doesn't mean I never heard that. It's a polite way to say, Kuamar Lo Svirale, I disagree. And when you're Rav Ashi, you can do that. So Rav Ashi says, that's my understanding. I don't believe this is correct. I believe that if it falls onto a kli, you are actually allowed to replace it. So what emerges here are two things. Number one, from the conclusion, according to Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi will be Posek Acharon, he will be the one who presents us with halacha that we follow. Rav Ashi will say, if the bandage falls onto a kli, you're allowed to put it back. The prohibition from Rabbi Yehuda is if it falls onto the floor. Rav Chisda is gone. We're not listening to Rav Chisda. This is Rav Ashi's version of things. We distinguish between whether it fell onto the floor or fell onto a kli. The problem is the opening of Source Dalet. Because the opening of Source Dalet, that Mishnah, said you're allowed to return it in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside the Beis HaMikdash. It didn't make any sort of distinction. Right? In the Beis HaMikdash, mutter. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, asur. It said nothing about where it fell onto the floor, or onto a kli. No such distinction was made.
Okay, often do we have it that it's not clear, and then we have a bright or something explaining what it actually means, the statement. Not sure if it's...
Right, so the answer is it's not an out-and-out contradiction, but we need to understand what the case is. That's all. And the answer is, our Gemara is explaining our Mishnah, but how? You know, what do we do? So the answer is, and this is from Howie's piece, this Bir Halacha, the answer is to see the Rashis in Erevin, which I brought you a few of them in sources Hevav and Zion.
Okay, just going back on this for one second.
Yeah.
Okay, we're saying Halachas or Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is saying,
the law follows Rabbi Yehuda. The only question is, what did Rabbi Yehuda say?
Okay, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Isur is for the spreading.
Yes.
Which is Dereita.
So it appears.
So, well, which means even the Beit HaMikdash, it should be Asur.
Correct. Unless, and we have to see this, but unless we're going to say, it's not that you are spreading, it's that we're telling you, we don't expect you to actually do any spreading of the ointment. The ointment's on there before Shabbos, that's not your problem.
So it's a shvus, right?
Well, it's a shvus, it's a gezerah of, if we let you put it back, might you come to spread? And that's your derabanan.
But he says a chatat. In other words,
if someone is mimareach.
Okay.
That's what he says. He says, if you're mimareach, then chatas. Vimareach, I have chatas. That's on his line when he said, lo yekaneach. But the concern here is gezerah, lest you do this. But watch, because Rashi is going to really help us. The solution is, based on what Rashi is going to say, that our concern here is, indeed, lest you shmir. Lest you be mireach. And it's only going to apply, I'm going to tell you this before we see it in the Rashi, it's only going to apply in the case in which you removed the bandage. Not in a case in which the bandage fell off. That gezeira will only apply in a case in which you remove the bandage, not in a case in which the bandage falls off. Why? We'll see. Take a look at the Rashis that I brought you here. First of all, Rashi in source Hay. Avaloba Medina, he's commenting on the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to put the bandage back if you're outside the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi says, why? Gezerah shema yimareach haratia. The concern is that you might come to shmir the plaster. Umeruach, what is meruach? Hainu mochek ha'amr ba'avos malacha shel Shabbos. That is memachek or mochek, the smoothing out of a material. That's what the issue is. And that's why the Mishnah said you're not allowed to put it back on after you remove it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi explains, source Vav, Machzirin Ritia, Kohen Shalaka Biyado, if the Kohen has a wound on his hand, V'nasan Alei Ritia Miba'od Yom, he put a plaster on it before Shabbos, V'hutzruch La'avod Avodah B'Shabbos O'B'Yom Tov, then he has to do some Avodah, he took the bandage off because he doesn't want it to be an interruption. Machzira b'mikdash, he's allowed to put it back on in the Beis HaMikdash. Because if you don't let him do that, put it back on, he isn't going to remove it. And he won't do the avoda. Yeah.
The shmir itself obviously is not considered a division, correct? Like,
so right. So I was wondering about it as I read this. Like, is there nothing left on his skin when he takes off the stuff? And that's what it sounds like to me, because the shmir should be an interruption.
Right. So.
So it must.
But
it
must be, because we wouldn't be having this whole discussion about what we would be afraid to do if it was there.
Then it must be
still there.
Why?
There would be no fear.
Oh, that you can
smear out anything if there's nothing there.
Unless the answer is it's the stuff that's on the bandage part. See, part of it is that I don't know what this looks like. Okay. You know, I don't know what this stuff is that they're putting on the bandage in order to know what its viscosity is and, you know, how likely it is to remain on the skin. Where the only thing that I can tell you is that if there was something waterproof on his skin, it would definitely be a chatzitza, an interruption. Even if it's not waterproof, it probably still constitutes an interruption.
So the shmir was not put on the hand, but rather on the cloth?
Yes.
So it wasn't applied to the skin?
Right. It must come off on the skin. I don't see how it doesn't, but I don't know what the material is.
But it was there for medicinal purposes for the skin, obviously. Not.
Yeah.
Or was it just so?
No, it was for the skin. There was a wound. Yeah, I don't know what this is. I mean, a theoretical possibility is that the requirement is that nothing should interrupt between his skin and the kli that he's holding. So that I wonder if this wasn't, you know, let's say the guy has a wound further up his arm, but in order to keep the bandage on, it's like a cast, it goes all the way up the arm, and so the material, whatever gunk stays on him isn't where he's holding the thing. The only question I have about that is how it works with his big day kahuna. Because the Beit Dei Kahuna have to be flush with the skin. But I don't know where the wound is. I guess if we need to know where the wound is in order to understand what we're talking about, maybe it could be the back of his hand.
Maybe it's on his cheek. Doesn't matter.
Well, so then why is it interruption at all? Then you could just leave it on.
But you had whole there were like you had like teens, right?
Yes.
It was your
shift.
Your shift.
Right. But we don't want him not to do Avodah when
it's my next question. Why do we care? We don't
want that. We want people doing the Avodah. Especially because it's only that week's worth of Kohanim who are there, and in particular if you're dealing with a Yom Tov, which is the context we've been discussing, there are a lot of Karbanos.
Right.
We don't want to lose Kohanim to that.
Pesach, right?
Well, it's not from Karban Pesach, but just even a generic Yom Tov. Right. There's an awful lot going on. So, yeah, you have your 13 bowls of Sukkos, right? There's a lot to do. So again, what Rashi is telling me is that the Mishnah said, if you removed it, you're not allowed to put it back outside the Beis HaMikdash. But inside the Beis HaMikdash, we will let you do it to make sure you take it off to do the Avodah. And then, take a look at the next Rashi that I brought you here. Or did I?
He does exactly the same as he does here.
No. There was another Rashi that I wanted, but I see I did not. Oh, I know why I didn't bring it. I'm sorry, because it's in Beta. That's why. Go back to your Gemara. That's why. Rashi v'chazaras ritia, which is the top part in Rashi, it's where the lines are thin. The 15th thin line or so, v'chazaras ritia, the part that had the Bach who took it out. He says, "V'chazaras ritia b'shabes paraklal gadol amru ha'mamareach ritia b'shabes chayev mishum memachik." That if you were to smear a bandage on Shabbos, you would be liable for memachik. That's your concern. And then he continues to say, "V'mikdash, you're allowed to do it. L'kohen shalaka biyado, if he had a wound on his hand, v'tzerch lavod avoda v'litol ritia me'al yado, he has to do the avoda and take the bandage off. Shalot echatzitza ben yado la'avoda, so that it isn't interrupting between his hand and the avoda. So maybe, yeah, maybe the wound's on the back of his hand. So he has to take it off, but there's no gunk on the front. So machzer haritia lach haravoda, he's allowed to put it back. Because if you don't let him, he won't remove it in the first place. But this is a concern about Shema Yimareach, lest he smear it. And that's why he says, you can put it, that you're allowed to, but if it hits the floor, then we're not going to, if it hits the floor outside the Beis HaMikdash, when it fell off, we're not going to allow you to put it back on either. Because of this concern, lest you smear. That's what I would say so far.
Where did you find the one, the pot that's falling on the floor?
No, so I didn't see it there. I had this in my notes, and I'm not sure why, but I suspect it's what's coming next. So hold off on the question. The Gemara in Erevin did say that if it falls off on its own, right? If it Ritia Shapirsha, we said in the Gemara in Erevin, if it fell off on its own, the Tanakhama said you're allowed to replace it. Rabbi Yehuda did not allow you to replace it. He said you're not supposed to. The case in which, but if it fell off in the Beis HaMikdash, you're okay. If it fell off in the Beis HaMikdash, hang on, let me make sure that I get this right. So I'm looking at my notes and I want to make sure I match my table.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just... Yeah, no, it has to be so. If you take a look at the Rashi Zion, when we say that you're allowed to put it back on if it falls off, but it only falls off onto a kli, so Rashi says, Marzirin, demilsa delo shrichai velo gazru barabanan, because it's an unusual case. Remember that rabbinic decrees don't exist for unusual cases. Why that's so, we've discussed on other occasions. The Rabbanan aren't licensed to make decrees for unusual occasions, or whatever your rationale is. But he says it's unusual for this thing to fall off and land on a kli, and therefore there's no prohibition against putting it back. That's the idea. So what the upshot of this is, if you take a look at the table, it sums it up. In the event that it falls off in the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be mutter. You're allowed to put it back on. We're okay with it. But you'll tell me he didn't remove it intentionally, so what's the hitiru sofan mishum tchilasan? The answer is falling off is an unusual case. Although I'm still not sure why falling off the ground is an unusual case. But if it falls off outside the Beis HaMikdash, if it lands on a kli, you're allowed to put it back. If it lands on the ground, machlokes. In the event that you remove it inside the Beis HaMikdash, that's mutter to put it back, because we want you to remove it. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, so you're not allowed to put it back on. That's what we're saying right now. Now, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch indeed paskin this way. I brought it for you in Ches and Tes. The Rambam writes, Ritiya Shapir Shagabe Kli, he's outside the Beis HaMikdash. If the bandage falls onto a kli, magzir and osa, you're allowed to put it back. Vim pirsha gabe karka, if it falls onto the ground, asr lahachzira, then you're not allowed to. Umanichin ritiya gabe amaka lechatchila b'mikdash, shein isr shuvas b'mikdash, we'll let you put it on in the Beis HaMikdash. Lechatchila sounds like even the first time to put it on. That's a separate discussion about what the Rambam is doing there.
Okay, so my difficulty regarding Rula is I'm going through his three cases.
Yeah.
Two of the cases, the reasoning that goes through Gemara does not appear to be correct. Because the Rambam just said that they're ancient Bupa Benamikdash, and therefore the reasoning for that that it's permissible has nothing to do with Achila. Okay, and the same issue.
No, just the opposite. Just that was what the Gemara had said. The Gemara said, don't think it's because of ancient Bupa Benamikdash. It's because of Iti Rousseau from Mishum Chilas.
But it is their ancient Bupa Benamikdash.
There is such a rule, it's just not the operating principle here.
But it is, according to the Rambam.
No, because if that were... No, the Rambam would not say that. And the proof of it is, as the Gemara said, if this was a Kohen who was not working, who was a Halal or whatever,
right,
then we wouldn't let him do this. If you were saying Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash, then
the Rambam is not saying that, though.
Why?
The Rambam is just saying, Menachin Rithia Al-Gabei HaMakal L'Chatchila B'Mikdash. He doesn't give a condition of Avada. He doesn't say anything. And he says specifically, She'eini Sir Shvut. So he's not going by Ula's interpretation. And then I had the same difficulty with the tree scene, that the halacha on the tree scene.
Right, I'm not ready for the tree scene yet.
Okay.
But he doesn't seem to be in his old Doraita according to Rambam.
No, but that's not his question. His question is that our Gemara said that the reason Ula needs to mention this case is to teach me that the operating principle is Hitiru Sofo Mishum Chilaso, and not the principle of Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash.
Right.
But the Rambam verbatim quotes the principle as Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. That's what's bothering Howie.
Also, the basis of the story is not the same. This is Keilu de Rabbanan Shvut, and we talked about the Raita.
No.
The Meruach is the Raita.
But it was only Gezera lest you do Meruach. You're not planning to do Meruach. The question is, might you do it by accident?
Still makes it Derabana.
Correct. It's not a Del-Raisa. If you were to do this, you would be doing a Del-Raisa. But what they're saying is, we don't want you putting this thing back on without shmearing it, lest you come to shmear it. That's Derabanan. Howie's question stands, and I haven't seen anything yet to resolve that, except that there's a nice rifid and debate, and maybe that's what they're addressing. That part I skipped.
Okay.
The because I was going for the interesting.
I'm going through the Gemara. My difficulty with the Gemara is two out of the three cases that he gives doesn't appear to follow what the Gemara is saying.
That what the Rambam says
on the Rambam says here regarding the Kohen and what the Halacha is regarding the Treisin. So again, it's not a case of Hetir L'Sofan. It's Mutar because it's Ein Stira.
Ein Stira Bein Binyan. Ein Bein But why do you say that that's what the Rambam says on the treason?
I gave you the Shulchan Aruch on the treason.
Right, so I'm on the Ritiya, so I have to go back and take a look.
You're allowed to remove it?
Even if it has...
No.
The seer is still an issue.
Right.
Okay, so it goes into the details of whether it's...
Let's finish Ritiya before we get confused with something else.
Leave the shutter open.
And why is it unusual in the Beit HaMikdash to fall off and not outside?
Right, so part of the question here is, what do we mean when we say something is unusual? And my understanding is that the unusual thing is for it to fall off at all. Whether it's going to land on a kli or land on the ground, it's unusual for it to fall off at all. And we have a separate reason why, on the ground outside, we're making this gezeirah that I want to get to. That's where I'm going. But what we see here so far is, inside the Beis HaMikdash, whether it falls off of here or he removes it, he's allowed to put it back.
And whether he's doing avodah or not.
No, I'm not taking that in the Rambam. I told you, I'm dealing with one problem, not another one. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, if he removes it, he's not allowed to put it back on. If it falls off and lands on a kli, he's allowed to put it back. If it falls off and lands on the ground, then you have this machlokas, and we're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda. So the Biur Halacha asks on this, why do we say not to remove it intentionally and then replace it outside the Beis HaMikdash? That's the question that the Biur Halacha asks. Why is it that outside the Beis HaMikdash we're saying that you're not allowed to remove it and replace it? So I would have said the concern was Meruach. The concern is Shema Yemareach.
Right.
But the Biur Halacha thinks that's not relevant, and he has a Rashi to support him. Because remember Rashi? He gave you a different explanation. Right? Rashi's explanation that we saw at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis was that it's medicine. In Rashi, Ma'u Desema.
Right.
So the Biur Halacha said there are actually two separate issues involved here in this. One is Shema Yemareach. If it falls off onto the floor, I am concerned that you're going to now take it and put on new material and smear it and whatever. And that's why if it falls to the floor, we're not going to let you do it. The other concern is medicine. Meaning, removing a bandage with the intention of changing it is a medical act. Even the act of removing the bandage is a medical act. If you take a look at Source Yud, here's the quote. He says, "V'tzarech tam, lama asru lach zira not lamidas." He says, you have to explain, why do we say that if you remove it knowingly, you can't put it back on outside the Beis HaMikdash? V'nira lomar, shezeh dikte ka'itur sham. Then he says, that's what the Baal HaItur, who he quotes, was medakdek on this. He noticed this and said, "V'kasav, if you intentionally changed it on Shabbos, you removed it on Shabbos, he means, everyone says you may not return it to the spot. If you take it off planning to change something, I don't know what you're changing, because you're not smearing material, so I don't know. But you're changing it in some way and then putting it back on. That's asur. Why? Shaharei hu osig birafua. He is involved in medicine. Sha'asru amishum gizera shchikas samamanim, which is prohibited under the prohibition against medicine. Vanatila nami kavar bichlal esek harafua sha'asura. Even removing it is asur. That's already a medical act. Abo kishapir shalomi das. But if it fell off without you knowing anything, you didn't plan it. Then whether it fell off, or whether you removed it without intent to put it back on, for that matter, we would allow you to put it back on, and we would allow you, if it fell off and landed on a kli as well, it's not a medical act. But if you remove it, planning to put it back, and change it, then you're involved in a new medical act. And that's the concern for medicine. So the way that he explains it, and I still have to understand this Rambam about Ein Shavus. I don't know. I didn't even notice that. I was too busy on this part of it. But the Treason question as well, the question of is this Binyan and Stira or not. But the fundamental point that he's making here is that when we read the Rashis on Yud Aleph Amud Beis and we chose one Rashi over another, he says you don't need to choose one Rashi over another. They're both accurate. They're dealing with two different parts of our case. The Rashi that was talking about lest you shmir is talking about the Gezeira Derabanan that we have regarding where it fell off and landed on the ground. the Rashi that's talking about the medical act is talking about where you remove it intentionally. They're talking about two different cases.
He still hasn't answered what's the difference between kli and karka.
No, he has, because the case in which it falls onto the kli, you are less likely to shmir something because it was caught.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And is he talking about Beit HaMikdash or outside?
Outside. Outside. In the Beit HaMikdash is mutter. In the Beit HaMikdash, the medicine part is mutter. In Shmos HaMikdash or...
So here it says, if it falls off unintentionally outside, it's okay to put it back.
If it falls off unintentionally outside and it lands on a kli.
Yes, and no intention of a four, it's okay to put it back.
As long as it lands on a kli.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So the ground issue is because we're facing a shmir again.
Yeah, correct.
Dirty.
Right.
Correct.
We don't know. Is what they understood the concept of dirty or something like that? Or is it because he has to bend more?
I mean,
he has more hesaf das, so he doesn't remember.
Well, it's full of dirt.
You know, I mean, I think understanding that dirt is bad for a wound is something that you can grasp even when you're dealing in a world of four humors.
Right.
You know, I think that's the answer. But I don't have an answer yet for Howie on this other point, so I'll have to look at that. But God willing, in the next 2 weeks we'll do Pesach topics, and maybe I'll get back to you by email, or if I find something short, then I'll do it in the shir. We'll see. Okay.